Hello and welcome to Stories from the Bunker, the weekly podcast where we look at the weird and the wonderful, the strange and the supernatural. With me, Robin, today, Martin.
Hello, you decided who to pick there.
Yeah, I did a brief pause because it's either you or Alex.
Hi there, Robin. How's it going?
Oh, that's not an enthusiastic Obi-Wan Kenobi. Normally it's a
hello there, Robin.
There we go.
Hello there and welcome back. It feels like ages since the last one, actually.
It was last week, Robin.
I know, it feels like a long time ago. Yeah. I'll be hosting today's quiz at the end of the episode.
Ooh,
Martin
very
will
nice.
Be telling us...
I'll be looking at a new story,
yeah.
One that's very eventful at the moment. So, which
good.
Is lucky,
that's
really,
good,
because
good.
You want it to be
something
contemporary. So yeah, I won't give too much away, but
okay.
It's about diplomats and particularly a new story that's broken in the UK this week.
Yep.
Yeah, it should be interesting.
Mm. Yeah, it should be good. And Alex?
Well, I want to talk about, as it's October, a scary story. And speaking of scary stories, as it's October, leading up to Halloween, I thought it would be a fun idea to hear, to get you guys involved and see if you have any like scary, real experiences with the paranormal. And if you do, let us know. Send us an email. Contact us on Twitter or even in the comments below, whatever.
So, email alltimeconspiracies@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Twitter, DM us, I guess.
Yeah.
Your DMs, I think, are open.
All Time Martin.
At All Time Martin.
At All Time Robin.
At Alex Brown. At Alex Brown ATC.
Every single time.
No, get your scary stories in. That sounds good.
Get your scary stories in, and we might read them out if they're particularly riveting.
I'm looking forward to this.
Do you have a scary story for us today? Is that what you're saying?
I do. That's what I'm leading up to, yes.
Okay.
Gosh, this is like the smoothest segue.
So what are the black-eyed children? They are apparently mysterious creatures who supposedly resemble kids between the ages of about 6 to 16 years old, and they only appear at night when they show up at the doors of unsuspecting residents and ask, in breathless, monotone voices, you know, mundane things like, can they use their bathroom? Can they make a phone call? Can they get a ride home? Or just grab something to eat, you know? Simple, mundane requests.
Grab something to eat. Grab a sandwich.
Yeah, but as soon as you say yes, you're in danger. So theories about the black-eyed children vary, some claiming them to be vampires, extraterrestrials, interdimensional beings, or some form of demon.
Right. Is the black eyes the only clue?
Yeah, pretty much. They've got, you know, those full, like, completely... The whole eyes are black.
So
basically,
all of it. There's no.
Yeah, there's no white iris.
No white in the iris. Okay. Everything's black. You know, like you know those contact lenses you can get that make you look demonic.
Freaky.
Those kind of things. So the first known origin of the black-eyed kids legend is a 1998 ghost-related mailing list post by a reporter called Brian Bethel, in which he related an encounter with those darned black-eyed kids outside a movie theater in Abilene, Texas.
It's always Texas.
And I thought, but you know, in the spirit of spooky stories, then we're asking people for their own stories. Rather than tell the story myself, I thought I'd read out his own account of the events that took place and just get your guys' opinions, see what you think.
Not 1998, you say?
That was when this happened, but this retelling of events actually happened in 2013.
Okay.
Oh, so quite recently.
Abilene Reporter News. Yeah. So like the story, basically he put it onto, he sent around the story to a few of his contacts and it kind of leaked online.
Right.
And the story's gained a lot of attention in recent years.
Okay.
So this was like a follow-up article he did where he basically told the story. So this is it in his own words. Oh, sorry, it's not 1998,
1996. 96. You might say 96. I can't remember.
As near as I can figure, this happened in 1996. I've managed to pin down the date that far. I feel like it happening in the spring or summer since I remember wearing a pair of shorts. But one of my great regrets is not recording the actual date of the event. After you hear the story, you'd think it would be something you'd never forget. But given enough time between, not the case. My memory, while good, isn't quite eidetic. I had gone down to the former site of Camelot Communications, one of the area's original internet providers, to pay my bill. At the time, Camelot was located on North First Street, near the movie theatre, in the shadow of what is now Chase, then Bank One. I was using the light of the theatre's marquee to write out my cheque, which I planned to put in Camelot's night drop slot. Involved in my work, I never heard them approach. There was a knock on my driver's side window. Two young boys, somewhere between 9 to 12 years old and dressed in hooded pullovers, stood outside. I cracked the window a bit, anticipating a spiel for money, but I was immediately gripped by an incomprehensible, soul-racking fear. I had no idea why. A conversation ensued between one boy, a somewhat suave, olive-skinned, curly-headed young man, and myself. The other, a red-headed, pale-skinned, freckled young man, stayed in the background. The spokesman, as I've come to think of him, that's the name he gives to the boy, told me that he and his companion needed a ride. They wanted to see a movie, Mortal Kombat. But they had left their money at their mother's house. Could I give them a ride? Plausible enough. But all throughout this exchange, the irrational fear continued to and grew. I had no reason to be frightened of these two boys, but I was, terribly. After a bit more conversation, I looked up at the theatre marquee and down at the digital clock display in my car. Mortal Kombat's last show of the night had already started. By the time I could have driven the boys anywhere and back, it would practically have been over. All the while, the spokesman uttered assurances. It wouldn't take long. They were just two little kids. They didn't have a gun or anything. And apparently, that last thing was a bit unnerving.
Yeah, well, I guess in Texas, they'd be like, oh, we don't have a gun. Like, most people do, but we don't.
No, it's the way around, where the adult has to reassure the kids that they don't have a gun.
I mean, I'm a 9-year-old, but I don't have a gun.
Texas.
I noticed that my hand had strayed towards the lock on my door. I pulled it away, perhaps a bit too violently. In the short time I had broken the gaze of the spokesman, something had changed, and my mind exploded in a vortex of all-consuming terror. Both boys stared at me with coal-black eyes, the sort of eyes one sees these days on aliens or bargain basement vampires on late-night television, soulless orbs like two great swathes of starless night. I did what I feel any rational person would do. I full-on freaked out inside while trying to appear completely sane and calm.
Every time we meet a girl.
I apologized to the kids. I made whatever excuses came to mind, all of them designed to get me the hell out of there fast. The aura of fear was now a palpable black hanging thing, almost as if reality itself was warping around me.
Ooh.
Pretty creepy.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I wrapped my hand around the gear shift, threw the car into reverse, and began to roll up the window, apologizing all the while. My fear must have been evident. The boy in the back wore a look of confusion. The spokesman banged sharply on the window as I rolled it up. Oh. His words, full of anger, echo in my mind even today. Mm. We can't come in unless you tell us it's okay. Let us in.
Classic vampire.
Yeah.
Mm. I drove out of the parking lot in blind fear. And I'm surprised I didn't sideswipe a car or two along the way. I stole a quick look in my rearview mirror before peeling out into the night. The boys were gone. Even if they had run, I don't believe there was any place they could have hidden from view that quickly. So that was the story. And he goes on to, he says some justifications, I guess, for why he wrote up the story. So he says, I write for a lot of reasons. I'd do it even if I didn't get paid to do so. So I wrote down the story of what had happened, more or less as a cathartic exercise, and shared it with a small group of friends on an email list. From there, it got out into the wider internet and grew and grew and grew. If you type his name into Google, you'll find the story soon enough.
Interesting.
In time, there was a term coined for what I'd seen. Bex, black-eyed kids. He says he wouldn't have chosen the name personally, but it's the acronym the internet has come to know.
Yeah.
Right. Know these children by. And he says that as much as I still don't know what happened that night and why, here's one thing I do know. It's a gut feeling, but one that rises to a level of almost certainty. If I had given the spokesman and his friend a ride on that long ago evening, I don't think I would be here to type this now.
Interesting.
That's what he says.
I mean, yeah, that fits in with your original description of these, that you have to make an affirmation towards them for them to actually.
I guess that's why they ask you something mundane, you know, give me a ride.
Come on, and he's like, come on in.
So,
first impressions, what do you think?
That's very creepy.
My first thought was, why did it take him until 2013 when this happened back in 1996? He would have maybe made a note about it back then. He said it'll happen maybe in the spring or summer. You'd be like, okay, well, check when Mortal Kombat came out. Then you'll then you'll know exactly when it happened.
He did. This came out much earlier than 2013. Just to clarify, he wrote it up and sent it to a few people on an email.
It appeared on his site in 2013.
No, this is like a follow-up article that he wrote.
Okay.
So, the story blew up on the internet. So he wrote it to a few people in an email thread, and then that kind of spread around and became like an urban legend.
Yep.
And then he wrote up this 2013 article basically saying the origins of the story, where it came and why he wrote it, basically.
Do you believe him?
I don't like to say that someone's just making something up, but I think maybe he could have been mistaken as to what he saw. Maybe maybe he was just having like a panic attack at the same time this happened. Maybe he was imagining them having completely black eyes from the, I don't know, the lighting that was happening. It was at night time.
The first thing that came to mind was you saying about, oh, you know, those fancy dress outfits we can get. You can get the contact lenses with the big black eyes.
Yeah.
Maybe they could have been freaking him out and got a pair of those.
He did also mention that in this article, in fairness, and said that this was before that those kind of contact lenses became like people started selling them. And also, like, they were expensive. Where would these two kids get them and decide to put them in?
Yeah, if they got the money for the cinema, they can get those contact lenses. That's why they couldn't afford a cab.
Interesting they wanted a lift as well at that time from a random man. I mean, this was 1996, you said.
Yeah.
That's like, weird. You're talking about the 80s and 90s. That was like prime time, like
Stranger Danger.
Don't go out your car. Someone will take you and murder you in the street. Yeah.
The role reversal was
interesting. There were cases that definitely perpetuated that fear, wasn't there?
Yeah, don't trust strangers.
Especially in the US. There were children who were kidnapped and killed.
I was going to say that I agree with you, the first thing. That first impression, like the role reversal there, was really interesting.
Yeah. And he says that one of the more interesting things that's happened to him since telling this story is all the people who have contacted him saying that they've seen something similar. His is like the closest origin that we can get to the black-eyed children.
Yeah.
But he says that people have told him that they've seen similar things. And he says some narratives follow the template of my original encounter a bit too slavishly, and those are easy to dismiss.
Oh, so he thinks they're just copying what he said.
But others have a more than subtle ring of the same sort of panic and helplessness that I felt. Are all of these accounts true? Unlikely. Are there enough to at least reinforce my belief that I encountered something truly strange? Definitely.
Ooh. Mm.
I think that's an important element of the story that, is the sense of helpless fear. You know, it's like seeing a dementor, I guess, when you see these children.
Yeah.
It's the sense of dread, like you've had a heart attack, you know.
Do you have a rough estimate of how many encounters we've had, or how many claimed encounters we've had with our children?
I wouldn't even hazard a guess.
Yeah.
It's the internet, isn't it? There'll be hundreds, I guess. In terms of tangible, like plausible ones, I could definitely bring up like 4 or 5that have made the rounds online.
Yeah.
Not right now, but there's a handful there.
Yeah. It's interesting. Yeah. The weird thing about that story for me is the fact that it feels so familiar. Like it's definitely a scenario that I think I've been in. You know, not with the black-eyed children, but like in that kind of situation where you're just someone strange, could be kind of logically harmless because it's a very young person or a very old person or someone who just seems normal. There's just something off about the whole encounter, and they're asking for help, or they're just asking for, not quite help, but like a favor or something simple. And you just feel a little bit uneasy about the whole thing.
Yeah.
And then I can imagine it's quite a, whether or not it's some kind of supernatural effect of these black-eyed children, I can definitely imagine somebody like him having that kind of reaction, being like a sudden, late at night, two strangers, even if they're kids, say something's just a little bit off. And the whole scenario seems wrong enough that you're just like, I'm getting out of here. Yeah. I don't want to be part of this. Something could go wrong. Even if they're not aliens or vampires or something, a 12 or a 10-year-old kid with a knife could definitely
Definitely kill you.
Definitely kill you if they wanted to. Yeah. It's not necessarily a bad idea to scarper in that situation.
I don't have a gun was a red flag comment to me. Yeah. That's the... Oh, okay. Why would you even say that?
No, you're right. I think we've all had those encounters with people just around and about. Yeah. I certainly have.
You're like, I don't fancy this. I'm going to drive on.
To me, it sounds like a classic panic attack, but with extras, right? Yeah. he's clearly had a proper panic attack, and maybe within that he's seen these children to have black eyes because he's not seeing properly because the vision may be tunneled by
the
panic attack.
Yeah.
Maybe. Interesting that there have been other cases where people have come forward.
True.
Yeah. I would never outright deny that someone had seen something mysterious or even abnormal or paranormal.
Yeah, I mean,
not in that experience.
There's no way that I could, throw any doubt on his story, really. Like, I can't dismiss it. You do have to take his word for it.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't say he's a liar, necessarily.
Well, yeah, you're right. It's we shouldn't dismiss it outright and say, oh, he's lying. But at the same time, we have to be open to the possibility that maybe he's exaggerating, or either he's telling what he thinks is the truth, like Martin's suggesting, or he is telling the actual truth, or it's creepypasta.
Yeah,
I think it doesn't help that he's a writer.
Well, that's it.
So it sounds quite
in his good. In that he said, "What did he say? I could write stories for days."
Yeah.
Did he say that or something similar to that?
He said that it was almost he wrote the story up as almost like a cathartic getting it down on paper kind of thing.
Yeah, there was a part earlier on though where he talked about his love of writing.
Yeah,
he said he could write. What was it?
I write for a lot of reasons. I do it even if I didn't get paid to do so.
Yeah. Yeah. Well. People that write creepypastas do it because they love writing and not because they get paid to do so.
There is also something about not like saying I don't believe the story or anything, but how this has emerged online and become popular on the internet. And the actual black-eyed children are essentially every single trope of any monster ever combined into one, right?
Yeah.
You've got the creepy children, which is in
Children of the Damned is the original.
You've got the demonic eyes from Supernatural and the demon eyes that are quite, prominent now.
Yeah.
And you've got the having to be let in somewhere, having to be invited in, which is a pretty common trope of scary monsters.
That's true. It ticks quite a few boxes, right?
It ticks a lot of boxes, but just kind of combined into one thing.
Yeah.
So it is almost like someone's just taken all those tropes and thrown them together. And this is the creepiest thing that could, the internet could
could
and conjure up.
Like even the variety of explanations for them as well suggest that.
Anything.
It could be anything. It could be a vampire. It could be a demon. It could be something else weird, aliens or something. Whereas, other creepypasta like Slender Man is so specific. If it's true, it's disturbing. If it's not true, it's fun.
Yeah, it's fun. A good one. It's very creepy. Yeah. And as we ramp up to Halloween, who knows? Maybe we can bring back some more stories of this, or your own personal stories. I'd love to get some people's scary stories.
Yeah,
and read some of them.
And if you've had an actual encounter with these black-eyed children or any other kind of supernatural being, please get in touch, let us know whether or not it's a scary story. If it's a whatever happened,
that'd be amazing, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Some user generated stories like this, that'd be great.
And hopefully you survived intact.
Anyway, or from black eyed children themselves, right? Any of you are black eyed children out there and are watching this,
any of you watching this video,
what did you think of Mortal Kombat? And that's a pretty weird film.
Also, they wouldn't get in. Mortal Kombat was at least 12, not 15, right? How old were these
kids? If in America it would be PG-13, so they could get in.
Do you reckon? Maybe they had a fake ID.
It's like, also, why have you got black eyes?
Yeah.
You're not coming in. You're clearly on drugs.
Get out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Talking of drugs, anyone got any comments?
I've got one on our video that went up about a week ago. Amazing stories of reincarnation.
Mm.
10 of them, in case you're wondering. And the comment is from Salty Brains, who says, "I hope I'm never reincarcerated."
Which is, is that a typo, or did, is he just making a very different statement?
I mean,
yes. I hope not either.
I hope not either. Yeah. Good luck, salty brains.
I mean, that's fair enough. If you were to be not reincarcerated, if you were to be reincarnated as an animal, which animal would you pick?
I have an answer that I've had for many years now whenever this question's come up.
Whenever? Mm-hmm. How often does this question come up?
More frequently than you think.
It's an interview question, isn't it? Like, if you had to be an animal, what would you be?
Okay, well, this is the interview. What animal would you be? And you're being judged on it by everyone at home.
A bonobo.
Oh, yeah?
There are perks. Look it up.
Okay. Enough of that. I can imagine
you're not getting the job.
yeah. If you said that, they'd be like, okay, they look it up there, just go get it. I can only guess. Alex?
I'd be a wolf because I can work independently.
Cheap clothing, or?
Because I could work independently, or, you know, in a group, you know, in a pack, or be a lone wolf. There you go.
That's good point. Yeah.
Nice. See? You got to think of these things, Robin.
Predator. You're a filthy predator.
Yeah.
I think I'd also be a predator. I'd be an eagle, though, I think.
Oh,
why?
Classy.
Eagle. An eagle, I mean, you don't have too many.
Bald or golden?
Golden. Just because, you know, you don't lose your hair. Golden eagle just flying around. Flying would be cool.
Yeah, it would actually.
But why an eagle specifically?
Because they're
like top of the food chain.
Yeah. They do get hunted. But other than that,
do they?
Eagles do, right?
I don't know.
I imagine they do.
Yeah, that's
imagine they shouldn't be, but imagine there are cases where they are. Mm. Just be quite cool to fly around.
Although, a dinosaur. Would you get reincarnated as a dinosaur?
Are you allowed
like
to?
Today, it would be like a dinosaur today, but, you know.
So you just, like some kind of Jurassic Park scenario.
I guess, maybe. Yeah. You're just a dinosaur. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. I'd love it.
That's a good point. That's a good point. If animals are made extinct, of course, you can't then be reincarnated as them.
Yes.
Unless... So how does that affect
endangered species?
Yeah. I bet when you made this comment, salty brains.
You didn't expect this level of
discussion to be had about it.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's interesting.
Please let us know your incarceration history. And what comment have you got?
I've got one on the same video, which was from Stephanie L. And she says, our youngest son is 16 years old. When he was 6 or 7, he would tell me about when he was an old man and how he died in his bed with his children sitting beside him. He said he missed his kids and called it his another life.
That's freaky.
There is more. But maybe we'll stick to that bit.
Yeah.
Just, wow. That's really creepy. Bad, right? And he was 6 years old.
6 or 7, yeah.
Does he still have his memories?
That's not something.
It got to where I asked him and he refused to talk about it anymore.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really creepy.
That is mad.
See, that's the kind of stories that we want.
Yeah.
Or the next bit. Not too long ago, I asked him why he refused to talk about it, and he said that he thought everyone remembered what happened before this life, but it freaked me out so much he stopped talking about it.
That's really creepy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And do you believe that your son was the reincarnation of Granddad?
An old man.
Please let us know.
Interested to hear more about that one.
Yeah,
the whole past lives thing freaks me out. It's
yeah.
Well, my comment was on our previous podcast by Jonathan16, who says Robin surely had the high ground during this week's quiz. My God,
about 50
Robin.
Times.
That was insane.
I mean, I'm sorry about that.
Was it edited at all?
I just left it.
Good.
I couldn't be bothered to cut out all those. I have the high ground.
Oh my goodness. You had ground a lot. If anyone turned off before then, just listen to the last 5 minutes because it is actually insane how many times you played I Have the High Ground.
My phone went mad.
Prequels. Which is episode 3?
Episode 3, yeah.
Revenge of the Sith.
Snap.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, that's why I'm doing the quiz this week.
So exactly.
I don't have to pester either of you. No chance. Horrible, horrible buzzer.
We made you do the quiz.
Well, thank you for those comments. If you have any more, then please do send them in either to our Twitter or on the YouTube video if you're watching this on YouTube, or to our email. And we'll repeat that. It's at, no, it's not. It's alltimeconspiracies@gmail.com or at alltimerobin.
Alex Brown, ATC.
Or at alltimemartin.
Good. Well done.
Nice. Thank you.
Congratulations. Martin, could you tell us your story? What was it again?
I have a story about diplomatic immunity.
Diplomatic immunity. Has anyone seen Lethal Weapon 2? That was a joke.
No, haven't seen any of the Lethal Weapons. But this one is about Harry Dunn. He was killed in the UK in a car crash a little while ago. And basically the person who was involved in this, what's being described as an accident, but still a road collision that needs investigating, leave the country to go to the US.
Yeah.
And this woman who was involved in it was the wife of a diplomat from the US over here in the UK, working in the UK.
Right.
So because she's left her home in the UK and gone back to the US, she is safe, so to speak, under diplomatic immunity because spouses of those who are diplomats have immunity.
Yeah.
And the latest on this is that Donald Trump and the US administration says that she will not be extradited to the UK for the investigation or to be questioned about it.
That's crazy.
Which, of course, has caused like loads of upset with this guy's family. Like, she clearly doesn't think that she's done anything wrong. But if that's the case, at least for the family, you can go and like help with the investigation. Surely, surely your conscience would say this needs to be done. But the US don't seem to be too fussed about having her extradited. They don't want that to happen, despite Boris Johnson and the UK saying, give us a hand here. So that's what's brought this kind of into the public consciousness this week. But I thought I'd give a little bit about information about diplomatic immunity. It's something you hear the word diplomatic immunity, you don't necessarily know the scale of it.
Comes up in movies and TV all the time. It's like a plot device.
So if there's a few facts, this is from the BBC, which is from an article that was released in the last couple of days. So the first bit is how many people have a diplomatic immunity, because you expect it to be quite a small number of representatives, right? Like in general. So apparently about 23,000 individuals in the UK have a diplomatic immunity. So this is for people that who are working in the UK as diplomats, or as we'll as you'll find out, various other roles that don't have British citizenship. So they're from other states. It means that they can't be arrested or prosecuted for any crimes that happen in the UK.
So what if they murdered someone?
Well, there are exceptions.
Where
the government of their home country can say, okay, well, this is obviously a case where a criminal act has definitely happened. But what it does mean is that in theory, if they commit a crime like this, they can't be arrested or extradited if they leave the host country.
Oh, but if they stayed, they could be.
That's a little up in the air. It seems like it's not very definitive as to whether they can be or not. But it seems like if they're a diplomat in a foreign country, they're not under the jurisdiction of that country in regards to criminal proceedings. So this woman who was involved in this accident, which unfortunately killed this young man, Miss Sakulas, has this protection because she is the wife of an American diplomat working in the UK.
I read something about this. I don't know if it was true or not, or if it was just online, but I read that he wasn't even registered as a diplomat.
Is that right?
Oh, maybe I'm wrong.
This is a new turn.
Maybe we need to look this up, I could be wrong, but I
very extreme.
I read that he wasn't actually registered, like he could have been a spy or something, like registered as a diplomat.
That's really interesting. So this article asks the question, can diplomats lose immunity? Like you said, Alex, like, can they just commit any crime? And supposedly they can lose this where crimes are obviously committed. So the Foreign Office can ask a foreign government to waiver this immunity. So the UK have asked the US to waiver the immunity when this lady went back to the US.
Okay.
But the US has the right to say no.
Which they've done, which leaves us, I mean,
I'm surprised this doesn't happen more often where you have situations where countries are there's a strain, international strain based on this between the two nations. But you'd think that this kind of scenario wouldn't happen like too often.
I would hope. Sorry if I'm getting ahead of you here, but diplomatic immunity, as far as I'm aware, exists to protect diplomats in countries where there's a sudden regime change. And
That's it.
There's a policy change and they can be abused by the...
Or their laws are very different.
Yeah.
So they commit say if you were a diplomat in Iran and it was misconstrued that you'd stolen something, you wouldn't suddenly get your hand cut off, right?
Or, you know, if you're a woman in one of those countries which have repressive laws towards women, then you don't have to obey them strictly. You can get away with behaving like you normally would in your own country.
Yeah. Although there's a lot of cases where people have abused the diplomatic immunity for crazy things, like people not paying the congestion charge in London's a big one. It's cost millions of pounds because it doesn't matter if they get the fine. They're like, well, I'm not paying it. I'm diplomatic immunity. Yeah. And so they're daft. So they don't have to.
I mean, in fairness, if I was a diplomat, I'd definitely do the same.
Would you? two middle fingers up and you're driving through central London.
There should be... it feels like there should be limitations, but I mean, like hard and fast limitations. So it's not just at the discretion of the home country. Because as soon as you get this kind of situation where, for whatever reason, and I hope there's a good reason, the Trump administration is saying no.
Yeah.
But I mean, there must be a pretty good reason, right?
But also, it's like...
there doesn't seem to be a major reason in this case why that's been waived.
Yeah. It puts strain on like diplomatic friendships, right?
Yeah.
Like between countries. Mm. And that's the whole point of diplomats. So like this you're doing a terrible job basically by allowing this to happen.
And there have been cases where there's been in the UK is at least like cases of sexual assault. And of course then it's been
this would be like there should be categories of things which don't count.
Well, that's it. You'd like, expect
automatically.
Yeah, I mean, of course, the interpretation of the law is different in different countries.
Yes, that's
true. And that is something that you've got to kind of understand and respect to some extent.
Yeah.
But when it's very very evident that you've knowingly broken the laws of that country.
Mm.
Yeah.
And it's just in that kind of case, it's fairly black and white that what you've done is wrong.
Yeah.
Regardless of where you're based, right?
I suppose it is still worth having it though. Having just said there should be exceptions, automatic. It's easy to frame somebody. You know, a country could set up, because like with the sexual assault thing, in this era at the moment, thankfully, we're taking sexual assault allegations very seriously.
Yeah.
But that can be taken so seriously, it can ruin someone's career.
Oh, yeah.
Or if it's not true. But that's an easy thing to fabricate, isn't it? Because always it's a he said, she said situation.
But then the flip side of that is it's very, very rarely proven to be the case, right? As in, like, it's very, very difficult to prosecute people who've committed those kind of crimes because it is he said, she said. As in, like, the flip side of that is you could be entrapped. But then it's difficult that you're going to then be prosecuted. But then if your reputation's gone as a result, regardless, doesn't matter if you're prosecuted or not.
Yeah. It doesn't. Yeah. You like will get tried in the court of public opinion either way, I guess. Yeah.
So 23,000 people in the UK.
Yeah. That's
diplomatic immunity.
It's not just like embassy staff.
This is the next thing.
Yeah.
Diplomatic immunity is by no means restricted to those named on the diplomatic list from the Foreign and Commonwealth Office. Drivers, cooks and other support staff whose names do not appear but have been accredited to Britain have the same diplomatic status and immunity as those listed.
Now that actually could explain what I was saying earlier, why he wasn't registered as a diplomat. Because this, I've got a news story up at the moment.
Add the info.
Yeah.
From MSN. And basically, this was from a couple of days ago. A lawyer called Mark Stevens said to Sky News that Jonathan Sekulis, who's the diplomat, wasn't on the official diplomatic list, and they were just confirming that
he was still covered.
Still covered. And then they said that they would update the story, but they didn't. So I don't. So I'm guessing he was
kind of support staff.
He was support staff or something, maybe. Yeah.
Gosh. So I open this up a little bit wider. What do you guys think in regards to diplomatic immunity? Is it currently being abused, and should there be any? I mean, should this fall under kind of broader international law, or should it be down to the individual nations where these people are coming from to decide what's going on?
I think in a grander sense, this is basically like shows what our real relationship with US is, right? Or like it demonstrates what our relationship with countries, how they abuse this or don't abuse this is going to look like. Like, you know, if the US is... keen for us to have a working partnership relationship, a special relationship, then they would do whatever's required to keep that. They would send this lady back, have her, take part in the investigation as required and stuff. But like by not doing that, it hurts our special relationship that we allegedly have with the US.
It's interesting.
I think it's kind of on the countries as much as, like, yes, individuals might abuse it, but it should be on the countries to enforce it, like the home countries, I guess.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think in this particular case, though, it's is it the country or is it just the Trump administration? Like, we don't know, for instance, if extradition would have been refused under Clinton, Bush, or Obama for the same situation, do we?
There's no way of knowing.
Yeah. So to a certain extent, you're correct. It does reveal how those countries really view each other in this kind of scenario. But at the same time, is it the countries in general, or is it just that short period of time during which they have a particular government?
But then it's kind of a different argument entirely, like the whole, how if a country can change its views so drastically just depending on who's in charge,
yeah,
and that's pretty worrying.
That's a very good point.
I don't know,
should be more consistency on a national level.
I mean, Trump says outwardly he, you know, still views our relationship as special. I mean, I always say that in inverted quotes, because what's special about our relationship?
I mean, special rail course has been going on for decades.
Yeah.
But it really came to the fore with Bush and Blair, right?
Yeah.
Around, if it's special, it means blanket bombing Iraq and Afghanistan. I mean, if you're going from there, is the definitions, the parameters around special, you know, we're in a rough place, really, aren't we?
Yeah, that's true.
But I don't know what point I was making. But
I think she's doing herself no favors. I have no idea why you would do that if there's nothing to account for.
Well,
if you were just involved in a genuine accident, why on earth have you fled back to your own country?
The other thing is, she said she was not going anywhere. She said to the British, I think it was the British embassy, or at least to the authorities, she was like, I don't have any plans to leave. And it's like, literally just got a plane back without anyone knowing.
Gosh, she's guilty as hell.
It sounds like it, doesn't it? Doesn't paint you in a good picture.
No.
And also, her name's out now. It's like, people know who you are. You're in the news.
Yeah.
It doesn't look good on you. The likelihood is that in this case, they probably, like, let's be honest, other than the fact that it's going to be hell to go through a trial, and it's going to be horrible to be an investigation, an absolute nightmare, especially if someone's died. She's obviously, regardless of whether there was any fault involved, she's obviously going to be in a bad way because the least you could do would be to see it out. The likelihood is you're not going to get prosecuted because they won't have enough definitive evidence. That's the likelihood.
Yeah, that's true. And again, like, if you know you've done nothing wrong, then you should have no fear coming to, because it's not like we're Saudi Arabia or anything like that.
Yeah.
We're Britain. We're not going to try to send you to jail for something you didn't do.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a genuine investigation. Like I say, she's refusing to take part with the investigation, let alone with any kind of court case. Yeah, hasn't reached that point yet.
I just feel so sorry for the family of Mr. Dunn.
I understand entirely their wishes. I think...
Did you see what Trump said about it? Like, because he defended the woman involved.
Yeah.
And he said, the woman was driving on the wrong side of the road. That can happen. Those are the opposite side of the road. I won't say it ever happened to me, but it did. What is he saying? So he said, like, it could happen to anyone.
Yeah.
Which is true. Like, you can't.
Yeah. Oh, no, sorry. He said, we've all done it. It's his words. Which is a bit different.
Which is not true. But also, tu quoque is not a legitimate argument. It's not a good logic. It's poor rationale. Saying, like, oh, everybody stabbed somebody at some point.
We've all got angry.
Yeah.
Like, you killed your wife, mate.
Yeah.
It's not Trump, guys.
Yeah.
Another made-up case, that.
And it doesn't matter. There's this poor victim's family.
Yeah.
The president of the United States, although I don't think anybody expects any better from this particular president, is saying, shrugging it off. Yeah, it happens. Shit happens. That's literally what he just said.
Basically.
Yeah.
Our special buddy, our special relationship.
Yeah. I mean, we've known for a very long time, since it really began, that Britain has been the junior partner in our special relationship. But I think under Trump, he doesn't care about anybody outside of America. America first.
Yeah.
But not even in a, we're going to help our allies because they might help us way, just in the kind of...
isolation. It's fairly isolationist.
It's so isolationist, yeah. Which history has proven time and again doesn't work. It doesn't work. And it's a shame.
Mm.
It's a big shame. I feel for the family.
Yeah.
But also, get that woman over here.
Oh, exactly.
Face face up to it.
Face yourself. How can you look yourself in the mirror? How can you go to sleep at night? She probably isn't sleeping at night. No,
just I mean, you're giving her the benefit of the doubt there. You never know.
Yeah. I imagine anyone who's done that.
Yeah.
Unless you're literally a sociopath, is probably going to feel bad about it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And I can understand that she wouldn't want to go through the process. No. But if you flee the country and exploit a system that's there to protect people from wrongdoing by other nations, not to protect you from your own wrongdoing, and especially if it's a real accident, then you've got nothing to worry about.
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
It's just a sad case, isn't it? Really sad.
Miles Mel Gibson and you.
It's basically a hit and run, but extended, isn't it? It's hit and run, run, fly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then hide.
Yeah, and then hide, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's awful.
It is bad. But what's better than bad is a quiz.
Mm. Yeah, let's cheer ourselves up with a quiz.
Unless it's like Alex's quiz last time where we lost points. That was bad.
Quiz time! Woo! Gentlemen, play me your buzzers. Alex.
Well, I'm going to stick to the Star Wars theme this week and go for...
Do it!
Yeah, that's very good. Do it! And Martin, what have you got?
Gone for a different approach then.
Different approach, yeah.
That is
still family friendly though. Yeah.
Thomas the Tank Engine before they changed it to some bullshit new song that is horrible. I hate it.
It's got actual words. What on earth is going on there?
That is, how can you change it from
kids
that?
Singing crap. Yeah. That is classic. That
when
is
did you realise that they changed it?
Oh, it was on. It was on the TV in the morning. I was watching it, and I was just distraught.
Yeah,
just distraught.
Cried for the rest. Did you see me last week throwing sunglasses?
Oh yeah. I wonder why you're upset. I thought maybe you died.
Devastating.
So, question number one. Question number one of 10.
Plus a bonus question, right?
Plus a bonus question, yeah. Who said...
Play for the draw, it's fine.
Okay, famous quotation time.
Okay.
Put your thinking caps on. Who said, "Well, George, we knocked the bastard off"?
Well, George, we knocked the bastard
George.
Off.
George.
Yep. George, I'll explain who George is, but that probably won't give you a clue. Unless you know this piece of history very well.
Do it.
I'm just going to guess. Is it Winston Churchill?
It is not Winston Churchill. Oh.
I can't think what era this would be.
Hmm.
I'll go for the same, roughly the same era then. Mm-hmm. Era.
Yep.
And go Stanley Baldwin.
No. You're both in the right era. I'll give you that.
Okay.
It was not an Englishman, although he is a knight, and he's famous for doing something in that era. A specific thing.
A knight of the realm.
But not British.
Not British.
I don't really know many people in this time.
Do it!
Was it Truman?
No.
No.
No, sorry, that was not what I was expecting. Oh. It was not Harry Truman. No.
Oh, okay.
Could it have been... I'm trying to think of the other countries around this time. It's going to be Second World War. It's going to be someone who's happy to have done something good. But it's not going to be Germany, because they don't speak like that.
No.
It's got to be a Frenchman.
It's not a Frenchman.
Okay, that was my guess. I don't know why.
Yeah. Well, I'll give you a clue. It's to do with mountaineering.
Oh, that'd be later though. That would be. I will go for it anyway. Why not? George Mallory. He's British. No, sorry,
no,
I forgot about that.
No, it's not.
I couldn't even hazard a guess.
It is Sir Edmund Hillary.
Oh, yeah.
Upon reaching the summit of Everest, he turned to his companion George Lowe and said, "Well, George, we knocked the bastard off."
As in the mountain.
Yeah. Not sure what they were doing when they were climbing. Yeah, but yeah, whatever.
They had altitude sickness.
It's a little bit bad that he didn't talk to the guide who took them up there, Tenzing Norgay. You know,
that's the thing, isn't it? Yeah, Sherpas didn't never, ever, ever get the credit they deserve. Mm. It's like, yes, we've conquered Everest. It's like this bloke's in the background, like, I've done it 16 times carrying your bags.
Yeah,
and with no oxygen.
Edmund Hillary, he was the first person to go up there, right?
First person to successfully summit and come down alive.
Right, okay. Because I was going to say, how is there a guide? Surely he's the first one to do it.
Well, I'm sure that they've done it before him.
Probably. Yeah. That's how they got there. So, no one got that one, did they? So, still nil-nil. Question number two. What animals hunt and kill great white sharks?
Is it killer whales?
Yeah, it is killer whales. Also known as orcas.
Just make sure this is... Now it's
there.
There we
go. Yep. One.
You good? You sure?
Good. You're right. You ready to finger a brother? One nil to Alex. That's question fine. Number three.
Gutted about that.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Going back. In the world of sport, which cyclist became the first Briton to win the Tour de France?
Oh.
In 2012.
Bradley Wiggins.
It was Sir Bradley Wiggins. Yeah. One all. Well done, Martin.
Fair play.
Question number four. What do the names of Mars's moons, Phobos and Deimos, mean? Phobos and Deimos.
Phobos and
Deimos. They mean the same thing.
No, they mean two different things, yeah. I'll give you a point for each one you get right.
Oh, blimey. Two points.
Do it.
Is it space and time?
No, that would be cool, actually. It would be cool. It'd be quite cool. It'd be like Kronos, wouldn't it? I assume.
Phobos.
Okay, could it be fight and light?
No. No, but I like where you're going. That's not correct. I mean you can probably guess one of them quite correctly. Phobos.
If we could guess one of them quite correctly, we would have guessed it.
Phobos.
Phobos is a Greek word that's a common part of many words to describe. Usually it's the suffix. Phobos. Mm. It's not spelt with an F.
No,
Like
phobia. Scared. Fear and.
Yeah,
what's the opposite of fear?
Do it.
Is it fear and happiness?
I'm going to give Martin a point for getting fear. That is correct. And it's not happiness because it's not the opposite. Oh. Deimos means dread.
Fear and dread.
Fear and dread.
What?
Yeah.
That's horrible names.
Because Mars was the Mars
god of war.
I was thinking that's what went for fight.
And then that's good. Actually, that makes more sense.
I mean, it's quite good, yeah. I think
the moon
just,
being called fight doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
They're other gods, Greek gods in their own right. Cool. Phobos and Deimos. I love those. Like the moon's like when you put love and hate on your face. Fear and dread, yeah. Okay, that's 1 point to Martin. So it's 2-1 to Martin. And question number five.
Okay.
Which British king controversially abdicated in favour of his brother George the VI?
Edward
the VII.
You're so close.
Is it Edward the VI?
No, it's the VIII.
It is the eighth.
Oh,
it's Edward the eighth.
Could have gone 50-50.
You're in the wrong way. The 3-1 to Martin. Question number six. Which element in the periodic table is named after Marie Curie's homeland?
It's going to be radio silence now, so we've got to keep on speaking, Alex.
Yeah.
So let's work out this one together. So Marie Curie was French.
No. Yeah.
What? She was Dutch.
No.
She was American.
No.
She was English.
Marie Curie wasn't French. I thought she was French.
That's a misconception.
Her husband was Belgian, which is why
she's Swiss.
Marie Curie. She's not Swiss.
Austrian.
German.
No.
Italian.
No.
Spanish.
This has become a Irish. Different question altogether. No.
What was her homeland? And then we'll come up with the well, where is she? There's nowhere else in the world left. Australian.
No.
New Zealand.
It's a place that the Soviets took an interest in after the Germans did.
Oh, Polish?
Yeah, Poland.
Oh,
she was Polish, yeah.
Okay. Poland. So is it based on Poland?
I'm sure,
I know she was involved in radium.
Yes, but it's not that.
It's not radium, okay. Because didn't she like,
and she died of cancer, didn't she, from the exposure to all the stuff that she was, all her experiments in radioactivity.
Yeah.
Didn't turn apparently her into a superhero, turned her into a dead person.
Apparently her notebook or something is still radioactive.
Oh yeah, I've heard that. They keep it in a special case, don't they?
Yeah. What else?
Generally can't think.
Polish. So, polium.
You're not far off.
Polonium.
Polonium. Oh, yeah.
I gave you a clue. Damn.
I definitely didn't deserve the point there. Let's have half a point.
No, you got it. 3-2 to Martin. All good. Well done, Alex. That was a good steal there. Question.
I don't want to win this game.
Question number 7. What connects Peter O'Toole, Richard Burton, and Glenn Close?
Oh, yes. They are all in Garth Marenghi's Dark Place. They're all characters in Garth Marenghi's Dark Place.
What?
Are they not?
No.
Oh, I heard.
I mean, maybe they are.
What was the other one?
Peter O'Toole, yeah. Richard Burton, and Glenn Close.
Oh, it's Glenn Close, I think. No, sorry. Yeah, no, that was wrong.
I mean, that's a great coincidence if they're all in Garth Marenghi's Dark Place. Great show, by the way, if you haven't seen it.
They named some of them after
Six
them.
Episodes long. Watch it.
Oh, it's brilliant.
Yeah. Peter O'Toole. Should have gone.
They're not in... Peter O'Toole, I recognise that name.
Richard Burton.
Peter O'Toole, Richard Burton.
And Glenn Close.
Glenn Close.
I don't know, something about movies, isn't it?
Oh, you would be very correct. Yes.
But I don't
know. All directed the same movie.
No.
But reiterations of the same movie.
No. They've all played the same characters.
Yes, that's more likely.
And that's closer in terms of what they actually do for a living, yes.
They act.
They're all actors, yep. Yeah. And what connects
them? If that's what connects them.
What specific thing, what honour do they all have?
Oscar.
Do it.
Yeah.
You go first.
Have they all won Oscars?
No.
Damn it! They've all been nominated for Oscars.
Getting closer, getting warmer, but there's something specific.
Have they all won Golden Globes?
Possibly. But that's not the answer.
Well, they're all actors, so I found the thing that ties them all together, so I deserve a point. No.
I'll give you numbers. Peter O'Toole, 8. Richard Burton, 7. Glenn Close, also 7.
Oh. They've all been nominated for Oscars, but never won.
That is as close as I think you're going to get, and so you get a point. They are the record holders for the most acting nominations without winning.
But
yeah,
won.
Exactly. Exactly. And Amy Adams is 6.
I mean,
what I just added in there was completely irrelevant. But it makes me sound like I deserve the point more.
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
So that's, I think, 4-2? 4-2 to Martin?
Yeah. Ooh, it's not going well.
Question number 8. Back into history, bit of economic history, in fact.
Oh, dear.
Who published The Wealth of Nations in 1776?
It was. The Wealth of Nations was published by Immanuel Kant.
No, he was a philosopher.
Maybe he did economy. I did economy.
1776. Oh, actually, The Wealth of Nations.
Oh, wait.
Oh. You can't have another guess. That's not.
I need to log back in. My face is locked.
1776. I want to say a king. Is it King George?
No.
1776. Oh. Yeah.
George Washington.
No, he was not an economist.
I know, but he could have published something about it.
Yeah, he could have published something terrible about it. No, yeah. This is a famous guy. This is someone who's been on English banknotes, in fact. Mm. He was Scottish.
Elgar.
No.
Not Elgar. Scottish. You should know.
Why?
Because you went up checkered shirt. Scottish.
Channel the Scots.
No Scottish heritage.
You're wearing blue and green. Yeah. That's probably some kind of clan.
See, I didn't even realise. So, yeah.
Scottish person who's been on banknotes.
First name begins with A.
Oh, is it? Not Adam Smith, is it?
It is Adam Smith. Oh, well done.
I was going to say Adam Smith was like the first one I thought of, and I was like, I didn't think he was 1776. Well, it was much later. Yeah. It was
very early. It's surprising how early he was.
First person I thought of as well.
That period was a fantastic period. The great minds. Immanuel Kant was the same period as well, and Burke was the same period. Just fantastic. Yeah. You know,
it was Locke earlier, wasn't he?
He might not have been much earlier, actually. He was 18th century, wasn't he? Mm. I think. Well, maybe he was 17. If you know at home, please tell us.
Yeah, can't remember.
I think it's 5-2 to Martin.
I feel like I've been totally outclassed in this quiz. This is a university challenge quiz, and I'm much more a tipping point kind of person.
Question number 9.
If people don't understand that, just look up university challenge and then tipping point. Yeah.
Two different things. Question number 9. Which word for which thing beginning with A is a soft stone commonly used for carving? and decorative pieces.
Ooh. Anvil?
No, that's a thing on which you would hammer. A blacksmith might hammer.
It's a stone.
It's a stone. The name of a stone, yeah.
Okay.
Amethyst?
Oh, no.
It's a gemstone. That's I didn't think that.
Good word, but that's not it.
A type of stone that's used for carving.
Mm. Yeah, because it's nice and soft. Mm. It's a gypsum, if that helps.
That does not help.
What did you just say? It's a gypsum.
A gypsum type stone.
I've heard of gypsum. It is a... any thoughts, Alex?
Yeah. No, otherwise I probably would have had to guess.
Think of stones. A type of stone.
You got marble. You got you got gravel.
Gravel.
That's the type
granite.
Of stone. Granite.
Limestone.
Yeah. Limestone.
Sandstone.
Okay, you outclassed me on
that. An A. I mean, we haven't gotten over there yet.
You've heard of it. You've definitely heard of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can we have a clue?
Do you know the Prince of Egypt?
No, not personally.
Okay, well, there's a song where it mentions it explicitly. So.
Can we have another clue, please?
Who built the gliding? That's
not. It has four syllables.
Is it
actually
a rundite?
That's a great sounding word.
I just made it up.
Whatever that is.
Pretty sure I made it up.
It kind of sounds like something that Chris might tick.
Chris from 101 Packs.
Yeah. Inspired by you.
Alabao. Alabao.
I'm not. I don't think you're halfway there.
It's alabaster.
Alabaster. Yeah, yeah. That's fair. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have heard of that.
I'm not really a stone kind of guy.
No. Yeah. You're rock hard, but you're not a stony guy.
Oh yeah, I'm not a stoner. Yeah.
Fine. Question number 10. Hopefully, slightly easier for you.
What's the score at the moment?
I think it's 5-2 still for Martin. Yeah. Sorry,
it's going to be slightly easier.
You might recover, but I doubt it.
Well, I can't now. So.
In what year was Nelson Mandela elected president of South Africa?
You're going to say die.
Well, there's a debate over that.
Yeah. Mandela effect.
Do you want to go first? You go for it.
I'm trying to work this out. I'm pretty sure I mentioned this in one of the videos I've done. The Mandela effect one.
Yeah. Because the whole Mandela effect is that people thought he died in, what, 87, was it?
Something like that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he actually
died much more recently.
2013?
Yeah.
I think. Or,
13, yeah.
Only 30 years out, or 26 years out.
I'm going to... I can't even remember when he was... When was he released from jail?
I mean, that would kind of give it away.
Yeah, I would, wouldn't it?
Well, I mean, that's a reasonable question.
I'm going to guess 1995.
Okay.
Go earlier than that, I think. I'm going to go for 1981.
Alex gets the points. It's 1994.
Really?
Oh, very close.
So he was only 1 year into his...
With the World Cup.
The World Cup.
Yeah, I thought you might get that with the World Cup. What is going on?
Sesame Street puppeteers explain how they control their puppets.
Okay.
So that does sound interesting, but it's not my buzzer.
Well done. Smoothly done.
That's better.
Bum, bum, bum. So the final score is 5-3 to Martin. Well,
very good.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Sorry, it's slightly harder quiz than I expected. I forget how dumb you two are. But
Well, don't worry about it. It's fine. Next week we'll be about rugby union. It'll be fine.
Back again.
In fact, actually, I am not here next week.
Really?
What?
No, it's my birthday. When we're shooting the quiz.
Okay.
So, of course, I'm not doing this on my birthday. What a better,
what?
I hope you have a great time.
What a better thing to do on your birthday than do a quiz with us. But it's fine.
Cool. Yeah, we're
going to a gig and then drinking lots of beer at a festival.
Ooh, nice. We're going to beer festival.
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, you get on a train. You get on a steam train.
Oh, is that one? Yeah.
Yeah, and you go down to the different villages around the area, and each one there's a whole load of beers. Sounds great.
That sounds amazing.
I don't know, it's great. Really good.
Really good. I had a really good beer the other day. It was honey.
Ooh,
so just pure honey. That's not beer.
That's just honey. No, it was hops like fermented in honey or something.
Sweet.
It was tasted like honey. It was quite remarkable. At first, it was weird, and then it got really nice.
It's kind of like mead. Is it?
It's not like mead. Mead is more like a wine.
I've had a honey infused beer before.
But yeah, mead is also made of honey, but they do taste very different to this honey beer. It's very
nice.
So. Well done, guys.
No bonus question.
Is there a bonus question?
There is a bonus question, but I fear that neither of you will get it. So I'll read it out anyway.
Well,
bonus question. In 1768, the first edition of which book was published?
1768. The first edition of which book?
It's a reference book.
A reference book, Anna.
Yeah. That.
And with that, and for that reason,
I mean,
out.
It's now online. If you look something up, you can find out with it.
Encyclopedia Britannica.
Yes.
Nice.
Yes.
Yeah. Well done.
Nice.
Well done indeed.
So that's an extra.
Actually, the reference
3 points. Yeah, extra 3 points. Yeah,
thinking about it, the reference book. That is the reference book, right?
Yeah, that's like the thing.
Yeah. So it's actually.
I guess it has the virtue of being first.
Probably half a point.
You've already won, Martin.
It's fine.
Thanks for participating. And sorry, we won't be here next week, Martin, but it's great to have you this time.
No, I'm sure you'll have someone else in.
Yeah. Send us all your spooky stories from home. Let us know your quiz results in the comments below or on Twitter or via email.
We're actually doing a Patreon episode after this, aren't we?
We are. Yeah, we're going to be filming a Patreon thing.
If you're not a member of that already, you can head on over there, and it's like $1 a month, which is crazy for 4 episodes a month every week.
And there's loads on there now. If you want to do a back catalogue and watch
over 40, right?
Yeah, loads.
Yeah. So enjoy.
Do.
And we'll see you next time.
Yeah. Goodbye.
Bye.